Today's edition of the Derek Hunter Podcast is brought to you by Life Change Tea.
Why go to getthetea.com? Because this important news could change your life. Socrates made a statement saying that all disease starts in the gut. Take care of your gut, and well, the rest speaks for itself. Life Change Tea is a wonderful way to aid in your digestion. Brew it, steep it, drink it, and feel it go to work. We at Life Change Tea have been around for years helping people just like you feel better. Lots of testimonials and lots of happy people. Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Getthetea.com.
All righty. Hello again, everyone, and welcome to it. It is the Derek Hunter Podcast for the 30th of November, 2021. Happy November end. We hardly knew you, November. Seems like only 28 days ago you came into our lives, but no, it was longer than that. I'm Derek Hunter. I am your host. Thank you for listening, downloading, sharing, telling a friend, all that good stuff. Action-packed program, as always. And, of course, we've got your book giveaway. Don't forget about that at patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast. You could, a lot of people saying, I don't care which one I get. That's not the point. You're going to have to choose. The contest this week, it's not even really a contest, the giveaway this week, is a signed book either by Sebastian Gorka or Ben Carson. You get to pick. You can pick when you enter or you can pick if you win. Only one person is going to win, but you only get one. So saying I'll take either one doesn't count. You have to pick. That's the deal. That's the twist. Patreon.com/Derek Hunter Podcast. Get up there. Join in. $5 a month is all, and you get a chance every week to win. Plus, you get the extra bonus show, the Week in Effin' Review, without any censorship. And really, a Herculean effort, if I do say so myself, to curse about the news the way it deserves to be spoken of. Patreon.com/Derek Hunter Podcast. All right. The kids are behind me. I'm going to get them out of the room shortly. They're whining because they don't want to clean. Good Lord. Whiny. I was never this whiny as a child. Ever. I was the perfect child. Yeah, right. Anyway, don't forget, if you're as full of it as my kids are, that they can't clean because they're too young and they need an adult to help them, a grown-up to help them, you need to go to Life Change, get some Life Change tea at getthetea.com. It's the tea that makes you go. It'll clean you out. It does a number on you. It is an expectorant, as they say, and it will make sure that you have no problem going whatsoever. Go to getthetea.com. You check out the delicious flavors, all the different options they have. They have a whole bunch of great products there. And then you enter promo code Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at checkout and click apply, and you get free fast shipping on top of a great product. You'll have it at Christmas, or you can sneak it to your uncle at Christmas and say, you're no longer full of it, Uncle Joe, you stupid liberal. Whatever floats your boat. Don't do that, because it will spend all day on the toilet if you overdose them. You never give medicine to anybody who doesn't want it. Anyway, go to getthetea.com. Get some Life Change Tea. Change your life. Enter promo code Derek. Click apply. You get free fast shipping. Okay. Now let us get on with the program. But it is good to be back. It is, you sit there and you go, I'm a little rusty. I don't really know. And that's the thing about vacations, especially in this business, is you... To take a vacation, when I was a roofer and I took some days off, there weren't advances in roofing technology while I was gone. You didn't come back and go, oh, what is, there's a whole new nail gun that just like uses lasers? How do you even use that? Well, you got to be careful because you'll die if you use it wrong. There's no major advances like that when you're doing other things. Things don't change dramatically. When I was working in record stores, you didn't come back one day and say, well, now they just beam the music directly to your head. So, yeah, you got to really learn a new way of selling it. It's not how it works. But if you work in the news business, you come back and there's new news and things don't stop. And there isn't like you can just go, well, we'll talk about that when we get back. Like something that happened last Monday, it's gone. Something that happened last Thursday, well, Thanksgiving, it's gone because it's always replaced by something new. You can't even study up while you're on vacation and go, you know what, when I get back, I'm really going to talk about whatever it is, the latest thing that Biden did when Biden did it last Sunday. You're like, well, it's over and it's done with. thankfully, other people have talked about it and things go on and people acknowledge things and there's always something new. The bad thing is there's always something new, too, that never ceases. They never stop. They never, ever stop. The news is relentless. So that's a good thing is you don't ever have to sit there and go, what am I going to talk about? And I guess we have to start talking about Omicron, right? Am I right? It sounds like a really bad Transformers sequel to me. But it is because they didn't want to go with Z, which would have been the next letter in the Greek alphabet. Because Xi Jinping runs the world. You want to know how sad our society has become? It is that Xi Jinping runs the world. And so the World Health Organization, which decided because they didn't want to name places or name variants after places because mean racism or something like that. That's such children. They decided to go with the Greek alphabet. Right? We're going to go with the Greek alphabet. And then they get to Xi and they go, Xi Jinping is our master. We can't really go with it. I mean, for God's sakes, the guy banned Winnie the Pooh in China. So because people said he looks like him, because he is. I would have never thought of it myself, but it's the Streisand effect. He bans it. And then you sit there and you go, well, now I've got to know. And you go and look. And once you see it, you can't unsee it. You know, a couple of quick keystrokes in the Google search and you go, and now you're forever Winnie the Pooh, Xi Jinping. If Winnie the Pooh were a tyrannical, genocidal, maniac murderer, which if you really read closely the original Winnie the Pooh, you could see, you could honestly see. Anyway, we have a new variant, Omicron, and it's meant to scare the hell out of you. The stock market going down on Friday was attributed to Omicron. Well, fear. Fear over Omicron drives stocks lower. Travel bans are put in place. Personally, I don't care about travel bans. You know, is there anybody right now who's going, well, if only we could get more people from South Africa? No. No, we're not going to be without vital anything if we don't have any people coming in from South Africa. But I'm in favor of being cautious. There is a possibility that whatever variant, there will be other variants, whatever variant comes along could be deadlier. Thank God right now the coronavirus still has a, you know, 0.5% mortality rate, and it's amongst really a very specific group of human beings. Thank God for that. Not downplaying it, not telling anybody to go back to making out with strangers or licking doorknobs, but for the love of God, put things in perspective. I don't want to scare the hell out of you. The media does. The Democratic-controlled media industrial complex absolutely does. They desperately do. They need to. They still have a massive spending bill they want to push through, and they can't push that spending bill through on the idea that, hey, we'd really like this massive spending bill. This massive spending bill has to be pushed through on the idea that we're all going to die without it. It will help people. It'll save people from being evicted. It'll save people from this. It'll save people from that, all because of the coronavirus. And you can't let the coronavirus go if you do that. So Omicron comes along at a very convenient time. I'm not a conspiracy theorist that will sit here and tell you that this is a hoax. And nobody get this. It's just the flu. No, too many people have died, and I've known of too many people who've died to say it is a hoax, but it's a very specific medical issue for very specific groups of people. We do have treatments for it. We do have options for people. Frankly, I know a lot of people don't like it, but you can get the shot. That will improve your chances of survival if you have pre-existing conditions, if you are of a depressed immune system in that sort of way. So there's all sorts of things that can be done. I would suggest you talk to your physician. Crazy idea. And figure it out for yourself. Period. End of story. That should be the government's position too. It is not. It is not the media's position because it is not the government's position. And it is only the media's position because it's the government's position because Joe Biden is president. If Donald Trump were still president, suddenly vaccine skepticism would be sexy. It would be wonderful. It would be important. it would be very necessary, but no. It's now, it gets you excommunicated from the Holy Church of Climate Change, which is the left's religion. So you can't do that. So they've, I'm not saying they cooked up this thing, but they're hyping this thing, this Omicron, because they need to keep the fear alive. Remember Jesse Jackson, keep hope alive, keep hope alive. Now it's keep fear alive. Keep fear alive. Now, how can I say that? Well, let's go to South Africa, shall we? She's the chief of the South African Medical Association. She's the one who actually discovered Omicron. Her name is Angelique Kotzé, I believe is how you pronounce it, Coetzee. She discovered Omicron, the Omicron variant. Now, vaccine or viruses mutate, that's what they do. Largely, I think viruses mutate to be less deadly. Because the deadlier, and this, hear me out, because this is wild speculation. Take it for with a grain of salt for all it's worth. All you medical professionals can tell me what you think. But if a virus is deadly, if it kills off the host is dead and so is the virus, right? Therefore, yes, the host can spread the virus for the few days that they are not in a hospital, not dying, not on a ventilator. But once you get into the Ziploc bag that is essentially the hospital room, the intensive care unit when you're on the ventilator, you're not spreading it around anymore. So the deadlier versions of the virus die off with the hosts. Hosts die quickly, and therefore they don't spread it all that often. You get sick. If you're inclined to be seriously ill with COVID, and it were not something that just impacted people who are, you know, depressed immune systems or whatever, all the comorbidities, then you would probably get sick pretty quickly if you got a serious dose of a bad version of COVID. Right? You're not going to be powering through. First of all, there was no work to go to. Secondly, if you're sitting there coughing, hacking up a lung, which is where the spread actually really comes from, people are going to avoid you. People are going to stay away from you. Your boss might even tell you to get the hell out of there and go home. Then you end up in the hospital. So you're not really seeing a whole lot of people. Then you end up in the hospital, isolated, protected, protecting everybody else around you. If you die, if that person dies, then the virus dies with them. Maybe a couple of people got sick, but the vast majority of people who are spreading the coronavirus are the people who have theoretically weaker versions of it. And if they spread it, they're spreading the weaker version. It's a long way to sort of limp toward herd immunity, but it's just a thought. Just an idea there that the longer a virus is around and in human beings, the weaker it becomes. Not only do we get exposed to weaker versions of it and therefore get some sort of immunity or at least immune help, but the stronger versions of it that they mutate, they tend to kill their hosts off. So they're less likely to spread dramatically. I hope I'm right. I could be wrong, but I hope I'm right. Still, you're looking at a situation where we've got this new variant that the media and the left, the White House, want to scare the hell out of you. This morning, Joe Biden was going to get a briefing specifically on Omicron. Wouldn't be surprised if he addressed the country. He won't say anything. It doesn't matter. But there is this doctor down in South Africa who discovered it. She's upsetting the apple cart. Not because she bringing to attention this horrible, horrible situation with this new deadly variant, but because she's telling people, calm down. Actually, Omicron has less severe symptoms than just general COVID or the Delta variant or any other variant that we've seen so far, which would go to my theory and would actually be a good thing. Be perfectly honest with you, but don't take my word for it. Listen to her again. This is the chair of the South African Medical Association, Angelique Kotzé, talking just yesterday.
Looking at the mildness of the symptoms that we are seeing, apparently there's no reason for panicking as we don't see severely ill patients. I also checked with the hospital, some of the hospitals in my area. And one of the biggest hospitals, they only have one patient currently that's COVID positive on a ventilator, and they don't even know whether it's COVID, it's Delta or whether it is Omicron related. We acknowledge that it might change going forward. But the hype that's been created currently out there in the media and worldwide doesn't correlate with the clinical picture, and it doesn't warrant to just cut us off from any traveling and ban South Africa as if we are the villains in the whole process. It should not be like that.
She's at the end there talking about travel bans and saying there shouldn't be travel bans. But what she's really pointing out there is the media is hyping this. And if you turn on any of the morning shows today, you turn on any of the afternoon shows today, you turn on any of the evening shows today, not on Fox, they will be talking about Omicron and the dangers of Omicron and what Omicron could mean going forward and what will Omicron bring about and what, and it will just be nonstop fear-mongering instead of informing. I don't mind if there's something to be afraid of. Then bring on the fear-mongering, but do it from a point of view where they're just telling you what's going on. The human brain is amazing. It can be easily manipulated, unfortunately, into believing all sorts of things, but it can also figure things out for itself. That's the beauty of it. The dumbest among us will recognize that a stove is hot and you shouldn't touch it. It's just, it's a good thing. We'd all be like crackheads and burned off our fingertips if we weren't able to figure that out without being told constantly in pop culture and through media, oh my goodness, watch, don't touch the stove. Stove is hot. Look out. We can figure things out. We're quite good at it. It allowed us to survive for thousands of years as a species. Yes, every once in a while, somebody does a Darwin Award-worthy dive into a swimming pool with no water in it. But that only strengthens our resolve and our ability when it comes to the gene pool. But I just look at this and I think, what in the hell is going on? As you watch these people panic, as you watch the media try to ascribe stock dips because of Omicron. Well, if the stock market goes up, what will it go up on? It'll go up on positive news from Joe Biden. It'll go up because Joe Biden is reassuring the public. They find a way to make everything work to their advantage. It's diabolical in many ways. Evil, no question, but diabolical in many ways and very effective with a large percentage of our population. It's a ever-shrinking percentage of our population who still believe the media. I think it's around 20% now. So just keep an eye on that and be aware that whatever's going on with Omicron, at least as of now, we're going to need to study it. We're going to need, I'm not saying, again, just go willy-nilly and strip naked and go to an orgy and see what you get because Omicron is a hoax. No, there will be, if you want to hear that, there are plenty of dumb people out there willing to scream that at you. But I'm saying that there's certainly no reason to panic. There is reason to be cautious and watch it. And hopefully we can watch it and find out that it is a weaker strain and it becomes the dominant strain. And eventually it breeds its way out of existence. Not necessarily through herd immunity, but because it becomes so irrelevant that the herd doesn't need immunity, that it becomes so weak, that it devolves into something or evolves into something so weak that you don't even know you have it. You know, everybody knows the cold, everybody knows the flu, everybody knows a lot of viruses. There are a lot more viruses you don't know about because they don't do anything to you. They just don't. Maybe it will revert back to just impacting bats, which would be fine with me. But there are a lot of viruses out there. I remember my brother's best friend 20, 30 years ago, a guy named Brett, got some weird virus and died very young. And there was something that attacked his brain. But I remember thinking at the time, well, shouldn't we all be worried if we were in touch with Brett? But it wasn't like that. It was a common virus. It just impacted him differently. That happens all the time. But the vast majority of viruses will not impact you at all. Should you live in a Tupperware container on the prospect that a virus could impact you in a very serious way? If you want to, sure, but you shouldn't make it government policy. Don't make it government policy. And unfortunately, so many on the left are living in that kind of fear and trying to justify it, maybe because they don't want to feel like cowards. And they're trying to justify it by forcing everybody to live that way. We just spent a week in Michigan, in northern Michigan, which is the hot spot of the country, or one of the hot spots in the country for COVID. And there wasn't a mask to be, well, there were masks to be found at like Walmart and stuff, but not very many. And they were mostly among the elderly, and I don't blame them. Everybody else, including me and the wife, were not wearing masks. It was a different world. You kind of forget that you live in Maryland, in my case, where you have to put a mask on if you think about going out to the curb to put the garbage out. That's what the government wants you to do, or some Karen will film you, call you a genocidal monster. Two different Americas out there. One that will be kowtowed and feared by and made to fear by the media, and then America. It's just a basic way to put it, but it's true. By the way, over the weekend, this wasn't even during my vacation. This is of interest. It's been trending on social media for a very long time. That new Beatles documentary, Get Back, is out there. You know, it's Get Back. It's Peter Jackson, and he's doing the Beatles. You won't find a bigger Beatles fan than me. But this thing, I've only seen part one. So forgive me if part two gets better or what have you. But part one sucks. The whole thing seems to suck. And I'm not saying that it's trying to discourage you from watching it. If you want to watch it, if you're a Beatles fan, you'll probably like it. I found some of it interesting, but to be honest with you, you're sitting there and you're watching this and you're going, okay, I couldn't get past the fact that there's no seeming real narrative. And it seems like they had both the video and the audio. They weren't together. And so they tried to sync it up as best they could, because it almost seems like really poorly dubbed kung fu movies or something. Are we allowed to say that anymore? I don't care. Because that's what it seems like. It seems like a really poorly dubbed kung fu movie where you're going, is Paul really saying that? Or is somebody doing a bad lip reading version of what Paul is saying? Because I can't tell. And that's the problem. They took, standard definition video and upscaled it, which is going to cause, ironically, a bit of fuzziness. They tried to make it into HD, which it isn't. It's never going to be. You can get it close. You can get it looking all right. But it's never going to be HD fully. And so you're never going to get what you expect. And the problem is we're so used to, 1080p and 4K, you said now 8K, even though they don't make anything in 8K, the 8K, that you look at it and you go, this looks weird. This looks bad. And it becomes a distraction because I'm trying to figure out what the hell they're trying to do, because there's no setup. It's just, here's footage of the Beatles. It's great. If you want to watch surveillance footage of the Beatles try to write songs, and I would, that's fine. But I'm distracted by this. And it's been hyped by Apple TV. And like, I was at my dad's, and he's got satellite TV. He doesn't have the internet, although I was able to bring the internet with me through a hotspot, trying to convince him to get internet. And he still wasn't having any of it. But it's even able to show him high-def movies and everything. Like, look, I brought an Apple TV box and I hooked it up to his TV. He said, it's just this easy, Dad. And he watches Gunsmoke, and that's good enough for him. Like, I'm seeing reruns of Gunsmoke. I only watch Gunsmoke when I'm visiting my dad. I realize it was on TV for 300 years, but if I'm seeing reruns of Gunsmoke, and that, look, I appreciate seeing old Burt Reynolds Gunsmoke episodes, but if I'm seeing that for the second or third time, I can only imagine how often my dad sees it. So I'm like, here's the whole world of everything. I brought him DVDs. I brought him like Ford. I send him TV shows. He's got a ton of DVDs, like every 24 episode, which you can get this stuff really cheap now, which is great. When it first came out, it was wildly expensive. I sent him The Sopranos, and he blows through that in a week or two. And I sent him all kinds of stuff. And I gave him the whole Rockford Files. I think it was only $20 for all the Rockford Files series. So he's not wanting for entertainment, but he mostly likes old Westerns. He says he'd kind of like to have lived back then, which seems really horrible, but he just likes the cowboy way, even though there's nothing about him that's cowboy. He was a greaser in the 50s. But the Beatles thing, I was wildly disappointed. Maybe it gets better in part two and part three, but I'm watching this and I'm thinking, they don't like each other. George is a little bit whiny. And whoever is talking to Ringo at one point seems like he's trying to propose marriage or get him into bed. I don't know what this guy was or what he was doing, but it was a pointless conversation that they just did. And like, oh, we got 55 hours of never before seen footage. Maybe the world doesn't need to see it. Maybe the world doesn't want, you can't tell me you couldn't cut an interesting 2-hour documentary out of 55 hours. I don't know why you needed 8 hours or whatever the hell it is. That's just my take. I could be wrong, but I'm probably not. You probably wouldn't know it by watching the news because it doesn't really make Democrats look good, but they'll cover it a little bit. Today's the first day of the Juicy Jussie Smollett trial for filing a fake hate crime police complaint, which, if you remember, I don't expect a vigorous prosecution. If you remember, the prosecutor in Cook County, Kim Fox, is a good friend of Jussie Smollett's. And I think she was forced to kind of bring about, they were forced to bring about these charges. I didn't think they want to. They didn't really want to. So they will go through the motions. And if they do get a, I don't know how you don't get a conviction out of it. It's a tap and putt. I feel as though with no law school experience, I could argue this case to the point where they at least get a hung jury. I've never tried to throw a case. I've never had a case. Maybe prosecutors know how to throw cases. But Jussie goes up. Remember, it's been three. Did you know that 3 years? Did you know that it's been 3 years since he went out for? First of all, I wrote this on social media. I forget who it was, but it was a brilliant observation. It's been 3 years since Jussie Smollett went out there. They said something like that. 3 years since we were expected to believe that a celebrity eats Subway sandwiches. 3 o'clock in the morning. I know Chicago very well. There, you can't say, well, 3 o'clock in the morning is the only thing that's open. No, 3 o'clock in the morning, everything is open in Chicago. It's New York in the Midwest. It's New York with less attitude. It's New York with more gunplay on the South Side. But other than that, the north side of the city is a lovely, lovely place. You don't want to go become a White Sox fan. You want to go and become a Cubs fan because there's much less chance of you being shot. But we're expected to believe that Jussie Smollett, a television star that frankly I'd never heard of before then, but a television star nonetheless, decided I got to have some Subway at 3 o'clock in the morning. And was beaten up by the only two Trump supporters in all of the greater Chicagoland area at 3 o'clock in the morning, waiting outside for him, just in case he gets a little peckish for Subway and decides to go get it himself. And they beat him up and put a noose around his neck and poured bleach on him. The details were rather hilarious and laughable, yet presented by our media unquestioningly about how horrible it is. And oh my goodness, those evil, evil Trump supporters. And then it turns out it was his personal trainer and his brother from Nigeria. It wasn't two white guys with MAGA hats on. It was two dark-skinned black guys who Jussie knew. And these guys are big dudes. They're personal trainers. If they wanted to do damage to Jussie Smollett, they could have done some serious damage to him. So they, not the face, not too hard, make sure this, just leave a mark, but don't do that. everything was so perfect. Our media bought it because it fit right into their absolute narrative. Even Kamala Harris at the time tweeted about how Jussie Smollett was so wonderful and brave and such a wonderful person and obviously a victim of a horrible hate crime, and she called it a modern-day lynching. Well, that guy goes on trial today. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a plea deal reached to save Jussie Smollett the embarrassment of losing at trial. And so the prosecutors can say, box checked, because they really don't want to do this in the first place. Justice. There is another trial starting today that is going to get some media attention, but it's going to make many people, as we told you about Jussie Smollett, it's going to make many people in power wildly nervous. Hillary Clinton's probably scrambling, going, can I pull off a second suicide? It is, I don't know how you pronounce it. It's Ghislaine or Ghislaine Maxwell, who is being billed and described as Jeffrey Epstein's pimp or procurer or ex-girlfriend or partner or whatever the heck they were. I guess it's a good thing that, you know, perverts sort of band together, that weirdos, deviants find each other because it prevents them from inflicting themselves on the general public. Imagine two of them being out there in society making things horrible for as many people as they come in contact with. Just having one is bad enough. So if they join up, yeah, they can do more damage, I suppose, than they could do individually, perhaps, but it's more concentrated. So you have this situation where she's going on trial for basically the crimes of Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein avoided all of his crimes because he killed himself. Right, Hillary? He killed himself. Still, what will she do and what will this trial bring out? Will this bring about finally some access to the infamous black book, or the alleged, I don't even know if it's true, the black book of Jeffrey Epstein, where that guy knew a lot of people, largely Democratic politicians, who he loved. Bill Gates, good friend of his. And you got to remember people like George Stephanopoulos. This is going to be an interesting thing for ABC News to cover because he's their chief breaking news anchor or whatever. They came up with some bogus title to placate his ego. But he is one of the few people who attended a welcome back dinner for Jeffrey Epstein after he was released after his conviction for child molestation, child rape, whatever it was, in Florida. He went back to his townhouse in New York and had a big dinner for friends, and George Stephanopoulos went. Now, George says it was a mistake to go. It was a mistake to go. You were friends with him, George. Just admit it. He wasn't like going, hey, get me somebody from ABC News to attend my pervert dinner. He had a dinner for friends he hadn't seen in a while. And you went because he was friends, theoretically. Or maybe he has dirt on Snuffleupagus. Who knows? Who can keep track of this stuff? But whatever the reason, George Stephanopoulos was there. He's also very close to Bill Gates. Now, a lot of secrets died with Jeffrey Epstein, but not all of them. If anybody, I'm sure there's much stuff that he didn't tell Ghislaine or Ghislaine about his friends, because he probably, if you're a serious sexual deviant and pervert, you probably don't trust that many people, and you don't trust anybody completely. But as much as he could trust anybody or would trust anybody, he trusted Ghislaine Maxwell. Her trial starts today. Bill Gates is going to be shaking in his boots. He's got to be nervous as all get out. He's already being exposed as a pervert by his soon... I don't think they've finalized it. Maybe they have finalized the divorce. If they finalize the divorce, they finalize the divorce because Bill was like, get this divorce done, give her whatever she wants, whatever she's asking for before the Maxwell trial. Because there's a lot of stuff that could come out there that would just keep adding zeros to whatever his ex-wife Melinda is going to get from there. But the media doesn't want to cover this because they're implicated in this. They are largely implicated in this. They didn't cover the Epstein story as well as they should have, as deeply as they should have, as much as they should have, because he was a big Democrat donor. He's a big friend of Democrats. He was a big funder of left-wing causes. There's a picture of Jeffrey Epstein and just about everybody, including Donald Trump. They can't deny that. Donald Trump, when Donald Trump was a Democrat, he knew Jeffrey Epstein. And then Jeffrey Epstein made a pass at an underage employee at Mar-a-Lago, the story goes, and Donald Trump threw him out and had him banned. So as the left will try and make moral equivalents, you can always remind them that at the time Donald Trump was a Democrat, and at the time, as soon as he did something creepy, he was thrown out of Mar-a-Lago. Democrats won't like that. But they often don't like the truth. It's wildly inconvenient for them. But it is telling that you sit there and you go, this should be a big news story. This should be a big deal. We are looking at a situation where somebody with close ties to a great many number of people in power is going on trial for all kinds of sexual deviance, all sorts of child rape allegations. I don't care what the politics are. You give child rape allegations in there, and there's a special place in hell for people like that. And it should be, it sounds like this guy's money insulated him. This guy's friendship with politicians insulated him. This guy flying Bill Clinton around Africa on the pedophile Lolita Express and taking him to Pedophile Island. Whether or not Bill Clinton did anything, I can't imagine Bill Clinton. You know, I'm not one of those people. I believe Bill Clinton is a pervert, but I think Bill Clinton is a pervert with people who are willing to fool around with him. That's it. I don't think he's actually a deviant. I don't think he's into masks and whips and stuff like that. I just think he's a philanderer. But I don't think he needs to, especially now in who he is. When he was younger, when he was governor of Arizona, when he went after Juanita Broderick, I believe that. Her story lines up. But when you become president of the United States, when you become a United States senator, when you become even a backbench member of Congress, you'd be surprised how many people up on Capitol Hill that there are, you'd think, well, there are no groupies for politicians. There are groupies for politicians. There really seriously are groupies for politicians. It's sad. It's a sad commentary, but a whole bunch of people are misled by movies. They think, oh, this member of Congress is so powerful. Unless they're the Speaker of the House, they're not powerful. They're irrelevant as a member of Congress. This senator, any senator has more power than every member of the House except for the Speaker. That's it. They all have groupies. Matt Gaetz is, they all indulge in it. Matt Gaetz at least isn't married, so he can go around and sleep with whomever he wanted as long as they're of age and willing. And I would note that he hasn't been charged with anything. If they had anything, they would have charged him. But there are all sorts of people out there who think these people are wonderful. They're awesome. They're amazing. I want to be close to power. Ooh, this, that, and the other thing. And they take full advantage of it. Jeffrey Epstein, if Bill Clinton was fooling around with anybody on Epstein's island, I doubt it. I doubt it. I think Epstein put himself in a position to have that reasonable doubt. Because, again, I just don't think that Bill Clinton would do anything with somebody under. I don't think he's that stupid. But even if he were, you know, the fact that he's hanging around, palling around with Jeffrey Epstein is bad enough, in my opinion. Bad enough. So this trial could be very interesting, or it could be ignored. But I suspect there'll be some kind of plea deal to try and avoid any of this stuff coming out, because Democrats don't want this stuff revisited. They don't want this, even if nothing new comes out, what's already out is bad enough. They want this stuff memory-holed as quickly as possible. And if there is a deal to be struck, there likely will be a deal struck. Just interesting that both these cases are going on right now. And oh, by the way, the prosecutor in the Maxwell case, just to show you how small of a world it is James Comey's daughter. You want to talk about the establishment, the power establishment. The former director of the FBI's daughter is now the lead prosecutor in the Maxwell case up in the Southern District of New York. There are no other lawyers in the world. There's nothing going on. It's a small world after all, and it's very, very perverted. Very, very perverted. All right, in other news, I want to play you President Fauci audio, talking back about the Omicron variant. The President of the United States, Anthony Fauci, made the rounds this weekend. He was giving interviews. He's in damage control mode. He's not even really a doctor. Can we take away his doctorate? Can we just stop with the Dr. Fauci stuff at this point? I think there should be a rule that unless you retired with good standing, if you haven't treated an actual patient within 15, 20 years, you lose doctor. And of course, if you're Jill Biden, you're not a doctor at all. You should never be called doctor. And if you have a PhD and you're outside of the classroom, I don't care who you are. You're not a doctor. But it reminds me, I was watching Curb Your Enthusiasm last night, and somebody, Rob Morrow's character's father, is having a heart attack or something in their country club. And is there a doctor here? And there wasn't. Nobody came forward. So later on, Larry David S., the guy who runs the country club, was like, surprise, there's no doctors. I thought, like, what do you mean no doctors? This place is lousy with doctors. They're all plastic surgeons. It's Los Angeles. I just thought that was hilarious. Anyway, President Fauci is trying to do damage control because the more we learn about the origins or the early days of COVID-19, the more we realize that Fauci was just wrong. Wrong. Or lying. Like I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and say that he was wrong to start off with. But when you continue to be wrong because you were wrong, if you just won't let go of the wrong because, I don't know, it would give solace and aid and comfort to your perceived enemies, you go from being wrong to being a liar. And President Fauci went on to become a liar on so many things. And he's sticking with it. The masks, you got to wear a mask. There's no evidence whatsoever, and there's actually evidence to the contrary, that masks do a damn thing. They don't do a damn thing. Anyway, Fauci was on the CBS Mornings, I forget what it was, CBS Face the Nation is what it's called. And it's a testament to how disinterested in covering news these Sunday shows really are. You had Daryl Brooks driving through a crowd in Wisconsin, killing six people, injuring dozens more, doing it on purpose, a long storied history of Black Lives Matter activism, a fan of Hitler on social media, black guy, loves to hate white people. Clearly a hate crime, clearly an act of terrorism, and the media has already moved on from it. They're not interested. The Sunday shows didn't spend any time talking about it. He's out there. He's going to stand trial. He's facing $5 million bail, $5 million, and just coincidentally, Black Lives Matter of Milwaukee is trying to raise suddenly $5 million. Why? Well, who knows? I would suspect it's to get their hero out of jail. But we'll have to see. Somebody will raise money. I wonder if Kamala Harris will tweet her support again for these groups. But anyway, they could have talked about that. They could have talked about how the left is inspiring these sorts of attacks, because they are. How the left is encouraging these sorts of attacks and this sort of victimhood, because they are. They didn't spend any time talking about that. They ignored the whole thing, and instead they rolled out Fauci. They could have talked about Epstein. They weren't interested in Epstein. They could have talked about Juicy Smollett. They didn't bother talking about that. They rolled out because they didn't want to talk about those things, because those things, one way or another, make Democrats look bad. So they rolled out President Fauci. Not to talk about Omicron, although he did a little bit, and he said we got to figure out what's going on in the next couple of weeks. Probably the most sensible thing he said throughout the entire interview. But there's no doubt that Fauci lied to Congress at this point, which isn't a crime unless you're a Republican, or isn't a crime unless you're not a Democrat. So he's safe on that front. But he was asked about Ted Cruz, saying that he should be prosecuted for committing perjury before Congress because so much of what he has said has proven not to be true. And it's not just he was wrong. It has been backed up by his very own emails, which are public property, that contradict his public testimony, in addition to everything else. He wants you to believe, President Fauci does, that he is not a political animal. This first answer here, this first cut here, shows that he is in his criticism of Ted Cruz. There is no doubt, there never really was, that Tony Fauci, President of the United States, is a Democrat in good standing.
Senator Cruz told the Attorney General you should be prosecuted.
Yeah. I'd have to laugh at that. I should be prosecuted. What happened on January 6th, Senator?
Do you think that this is about making you a scapegoat to deflect from President Trump?
Of course. You have to be asleep not to figure that one out.
Well, there are a lot of Republican senators taking aim at this.
That's okay. I'm just going to do my job. And I'm going to be saving lives, and they're going to be lying.
I'm going to be saving lives. He frames it beautifully for manipulation. They're bad. I'm good. They're lying. I'm honest. If Margaret Brennan, who hosts that show, had any semblance of journalistic integrity whatsoever, she could have countered everything he'd said there, but she didn't. She doesn't. She recognizes that even if she wanted to question President Fauci in any sort of realistic way, there is no upside for her. There is zero upside for her. The media, herself included, have created this aura of invincibility, of holiness around that guy, that to question him in any serious manner is to invite charges of heresy, to get you stripped of all of the placards that are hanging on your walls as all your journalistic awards. So there is no benefit, there is no upside to reporting honestly on him. So you let him get away with political hackery going, what happened on January 6th, Senator? You know what happened on January 6th. Does that mean you didn't lie when you said things that were untrue repeatedly before Congress? Fauci, is that what you said? No real person would allow that. No, certainly no prosecutor in any serious case would allow a witness to go, did you lie about it? Well, what about this other thing? They would not go, oh, well, all right, you made a good point about this other thing. They're mutually exclusive things. Tony, you lied repeatedly. You've lied continually. You lied to cover your own skin. You funded gain of function research in China at the Wuhan Institute for Virology. You did that. Now, maybe you didn't. Maybe you were, your only defense, the only plausible defense, because it happened, we know it happened, is you were too dumb to know what was going on at the time. Yet the evidence we have in your own emails indicates that you knew. And the only way for you to have not known to any extent would be for you to be willfully ignorant. You're not willfully ignorant. You play the game of politics far too acutely and well to really make it believable that you just fell off the turnip truck and still have straw sticking out of your collar going, oh, geez, I don't know what happened. I was just taken advantage of. He wasn't done, though, making himself, and this is, again, rather than answering the question, he builds himself up as the hero. He's believing his own mythology. He's embracing his own mythology so as to stop Brennan from really pressing down on his failures and his lies. It works. It helps that she's on his team already, but it works.
It seems another layer of danger to play politics around matters of life and death.
Exactly. Exactly. And to me, that's unbelievably bad. Because all I want to do is save people's lives.
He just wants to save lives. He just wants to save lives. Why are you such a monster? Tony Fauci just wants to save lives. He's the hero. Everybody, anybody, all the people who oppose him are the problem. And then finally, he declares himself to be science. To be science. To criticize him is to criticize science. and to criticize science, as we know, is heresy in the first order.
I mean, anybody who's looking at this carefully realizes that there's a distinct anti-science flavor to this. So if they get up and criticize science, nobody's going to know what they're talking about. But if they get up and really aim their bullets at Tony Fauci, well, people could recognize there's a person there. So it's easy to criticize, but they're really criticizing science because I represent science. That's dangerous. To me, that's more dangerous than the slings and the arrows that get thrown at me. And if you damage science, you are doing something very detrimental to society.
I represent science. I am Spartacus. Yes, Spartacus, but I am science, don't you see? I am science. Brennan just sat there and said, all right, please, as long as we can get a picture together so my kids think I'm a hero and know God personally, it'll be wonderful. Journalism is dead, slow roasted on a spit at an office party for Christmas. Since we're talking about Omicron, we're talking about COVID and the panic, and President Fauci and His Holiness, the Pope Fauci, I assume he gets all honorary titles. I'd like to point out that just some of the hypocrisy, because Joe Biden, I don't have a problem with the travel bans. I don't really care if foreigners can come here, especially from third world hellholes where the vaccine rate for a lot of diseases is pretty low. I think in the time of a pandemic, we have to protect our most vulnerable citizens, not by imprisoning everybody here, but by saying, frankly, right now, Namibia, I don't know what you bring to the table in coming to the United States, so we're not going to let you here. Or South Africa, we don't know what this new variant does, so we're going to postpone travel. Just like I didn't have a problem with Donald Trump imposing the travel ban with China back in the start of this thing. Of course, Democrats had a huge problem with Donald Trump imposing the travel ban. They didn't actually have a problem with it. It was an election season, so it was Democrats being what Democrats are, opportunistic and frauds. At the time, back on February the 1st of 2020, a little lady named Kamala Harris took to her social media account and tweeted, quote, Trump's extended un-American travel ban undermines our nation's core values. It's clearly driven by hate, not security. End quote. Now, I don't believe for a second that Kamala Harris actually wrote that. If you remember at the time when the Jussie Smollett hoax was exposed, Kamala Harris was asked at a campaign event, do you still stand by? You called the Jussie Smollett thing a modern-day lynching. And she's like, what? What? She had no idea what, but it was fashionable at the time. She was in the midst of a primary, and she had to out-liberal everybody else. So whoever was running her social media account said, totally modern lynching. Let's do modern lynching. All right, yeah, we'll call it a modern lynching. And when it turned out to be a hoax, she was already pot-committed to it being a modern lynching. She had to look like a damn fool. Somebody should have briefed her on the Jussie Smollett thing turning out to be a hoax. And somebody should have probably briefed her and said, oh, by the way, you called it a modern lynching, even though you didn't call it. We did. We were trying to get some footing in this Democratic presidential race. And since, you know, you're a horrible candidate and nobody likes you, we thought we'd try and out-liberal everybody, and we really stepped in it. And sorry about that, but just be prepared because you might get asked about that. Instead, she shot a dirty look at her staffers, going like, who the hell wrote that, and why wasn't I briefed about that? Just let you know how charming she is. But this one stood, and she was never really asked about it. It was clearly driven by hate, not by security, his travel ban from China. Smash cut to yesterday. Kamala Harris, quoted in Bloomberg, quote, we've done what we believe is necessary, Vice President Kamala Harris said in regards to travel restrictions over new Omicron COVID variant. Oh, we did what we thought was necessary. So does that mean that Donald Trump's travel ban was not driven by hate or but was actually driven by security? Now, Kamala, do you want to readdress that? She'd, of course, if she were a Republican, she'd be asked in a heartbeat about the contradictions here and be called a hypocrite by every news anchor humanly possible. But because she's a Democrat in good standing, she will be ignored. It will all be ignored. Joe Biden, the same thing. Joe Biden went off after Donald Trump for xenophobia in his travel ban in regards to China. It is now a good thing. It doesn't matter. They don't care. Back on February the 1st, 2020, Joe Biden, who just instituted a travel ban from 7 African nations, black nations, ladies and gentlemen. Joe Biden back then, just a lowly candidate, tweeted, quote, Trump further diminishes the U.S. in the eyes of the world by expanding his travel ban. This new African ban is designed to make it harder for black and brown people to immigrate to the United States. It's a disgrace, and we cannot let him succeed. Well, now, Grandpa Grifter, Klansman, Sniffy, Gropey, Uncle Joe has instituted his own version of that very thing. Oopsie! Will anybody call him out on that? Highly doubtful. Will the media bring out any of the long knives and say, how do you explain the difference? What's going on here, Mr. No. No, they won't. Because why would they? They're all on the same team. To evidence that they're all on the same team, ABC News on Good Morning America over the weekend. Like, come on, let America actually have a good morning, but give it a rest. Good Morning America over the weekend, ABC News deputy political director, a woman named Avery Harper, was on talking about Omicron and, or Omicron, however you pronounce it, and Joe Biden's agenda. She's very concerned that this new variant might derail Joe Biden's agenda. And that she hopes Joe Biden will step up and use it properly. She doesn't come right out and say it. She can't come right out and say it. Not yet. The media isn't that far gone. They're just pretty damn close to that far gone. So instead, she hints around about it by saying this.
Nearly 150 days ago, the president said we were closer than ever to declaring independence from the virus. Now we see this new COVID variant. How much of a challenge does this pose for the president?
Well, we mentioned those travel restrictions earlier. We know that New York's governor has declared a state of emergency. And we saw the markets take a nosedive on Friday, all because of the Omicron variant. So I would say that this poses a significant challenge to the Biden administration, particularly on the economic front. Last week, we heard the president urge Americans to have confidence in the progress that the economy has made. Well, the Omicron variant could pose a significant threat to that progress. And heading into an election year for the Biden administration, which is critical, it could spell trouble.
It's critical for the Biden administration. It could spell trouble. Get out there. Use that bully pulpit, Joe. Come on, man. We can't do all the heavy lifting for you. They want a piece of Build Back Better so bad they can taste it. That's modern journalism for you, ladies and gentlemen. But they're very concerned. They're very concerned. Over at CNN, they're also concerned. The Weeble over there, the Weeble with arms, Brian Stelter, Towson's own Brian. Does Towson claim him, or does the Damascus or wherever he was born claim him? Whatever. There's enough of him to go around. He can have both. He had on a writer named Chris Ahmad. Chris Ahmad and Brian Stelter, I don't know anything about Chris Ahmad other than he was on with Brian Stelter. He's a liberal in good standing. That's all he has on. And he's on there saying basically that they're worried that not enough people are giving Joe Biden credit for the economy because of all the problems with the coronavirus. Remember, Joe Biden was elected. I'm going to control the coronavirus, not you. I'm going to do this and not that. I've got a plan. He's had a plan to control the coronavirus. Now more people have died on his watch than on Donald Trump's watch. And he was gifted a vaccine. He was gifted monoclonal antibodies. He was gifted all of the fruits of the Trump administration's labor. And he's sitting there screwing up. Remember 100 days, just wear a mask for 100 days and we can put this thing behind us. He declared our independence from the coronavirus back on July 4th. A little bit premature, I might say. He's been wrong on everything. He's been made to look a fool in every possible way. And now these leftists over at CNN are worried that he's not getting enough credit for the economy, which is absurd. He deserves blame for the economy. But they're trying now to convince you that you don't know how good you've got it. That's a tough argument to make. But you got to love the potato making that argument, or at least trying to.
People, excuse my language, people are angry. COVID's still here. And it's a friction that's mucked up life, and inflation's here, and that's another friction that's mucked up life. And so, you know, Biden was elected to bring things back to normal, and things aren't normal. That's as simple as that. And so they connect that to the president.
Right. And that's what I mean about feelings over facts. It's completely understandable that people go with those feelings, even if the facts show us a rebounding economy. If people don't feel it and see it themselves, they don't give anybody credit for it.
Damn you, stupid public. Give Joe Biden the credit he so richly deserves for the wonderful economy that you've got going there. So many people have had it pretty damned easy that it's impossible for some places to work. I'll tell you, where I was with my dad, there's a restaurant called Fred's. We didn't go to it this time, but Fred's is like the social hub of the town. It is, it's a good restaurant. It's not going to get a Michelin star or anything, but it's certainly a good restaurant. Good food, never had any complaints about what's going on there. But they're closed 2 days a week now because they can't get enough people to come and work. The government has made it so easy. Liberal governments, like in Michigan, have made it so easy to not work that people choose not to work. They've also been scared to death, people have been, by liberals, the media, Democrats, that you don't leave your house. Stay in the lock up, double mask. What are you doing? This thing's coming to get you. No matter how young you are, no matter how in shape you are, no matter how robust your immune system is, they've done all of this. So you end up in a situation where this restaurant could be doing much better than it is. It does well on the days that it's open, but I think on Monday and Tuesday it's closed because they can't get enough wait staff. We drove over to Traverse City on one of the days, Wednesday, I think it was. Traverse City's beautiful. Michael Moore lives there. He's got a huge mansion on Lake Michigan there. Tim Allen apparently lives up there, and apparently Michael Stipe lives up there, or at least used to. Beautiful area of the country. Highly recommend it. But they had a McDonald's there. Well, they have several. This is not a big city, but it's a bigger city than most of northern Michigan. They had a McDonald's there. The starting salary advertised on the McDonald's sign was $21. $21 an hour. I was half tempted to go in there. I'm like, you know what? I'm here for the next couple of days. I'll pull a couple of doubles. Let's do this thing. $21 an hour. In the town where my dad lives, they're offering, it was either $17 an hour for McDonald's. They built a new McDonald's that's attached to a gas station, a Shell station in town. They don't open. I thought it was COVID that they kept it closed. They opened the drive-thru, but that's it. And it is COVID that they keep it closed. But it's kept closed because they can't find enough people to work to open the front counter. They don't want people to eat in there because they'd have to have more people. Somebody has to bust the tables. Somebody has to go out there and clean, wipe down. They can't find people. Even at $17 an hour, where my dad lives, for $17 an hour, you can live like a king. It's in the middle of the woods. It's in the middle of nowhere. You could live like a king. $17 an hour, they can't get anybody. They can't get enough people to open the internal McDonald's. President of the United States doesn't want to address that. He hasn't addressed that. He doesn't want to acknowledge that. Now, things are in place no longer that are making it advantageous to be unemployed. So eventually, I'd like to think that these people will sink back into the workforce. But that's the bonus, the unemployment bonus money being gone. The fear factor that they're trying to implement from President Fauci all the way down to Joe Biden is not going away. It's only ramping up because that's politically advantageous for Democrats. They still got trillions of dollars in spending they want to ram through. They can't justify it in the, well, we just want it way. It has to be, we're scared to death. This is going to save people from COVID. They're going to throw things in there like this will help people who are about to be evicted. Like, okay. What about the billions, hundreds of billions of dollars we'd already put toward that and people are still being evicted? Why is it that the local government, no, don't ask, don't think, feel bad for the people who are about to get evicted. I don't particularly feel bad for the people who are about to get evicted unless something horrible happened to them. They had a year and a half where they couldn't be evicted. They had a year and a half to get their lives in order or move someplace where they could afford for when they could go back to being evicted. And if they didn't do that, that's kind of on them. Instead, now we have a political party, a political movement that exists solely to absolve these people, all of these people, from any responsibility whatsoever. It's not going to end well. No country can survive under these circumstances. They just can't. No economy can survive under these circumstances. A car, the self-driving car seems like a real neat idea. But a self-driving economy doesn't work that way when nobody's putting any gas in the tank. And that's the problem. Democrats are siphoning all the gas out of the tank desperately, quickly as they possibly can. Sooner or later, you are going to run out. You just will. That's what Milton Friedman said, or Margaret Thatcher said, excuse me. The problem with socialism is eventually you run out of other people's money. Well, when you're paying other people's money, sooner or later, those people go, I'm not going to give you anymore. I'm not going to produce anymore. Or I'll just leave if they're producing a lot, and I'll produce it overseas, where I won't be taken advantage of. Either option's really, really bad, and both are getting more and more likely. I see on the Twitter that Jack Dorsey has resigned from CEO of Twitter, and he'll be leaving the company. He's just going, they're making a big deal out of it. The stock price is apparently up. He's going to fall back on his billions of dollars in stock. He's going to be fine. I don't care who runs Twitter. It doesn't matter. They're going to be a leftist. It's not as though, well, now there's a conservative. No, it's not going to happen. You just have to learn to operate inside that world, and then you have to change the laws that force them to do what they say they're going to do or opens them up to massive lawsuits. And then they'll do. You know, when all other options are exercised, a leftist will eventually do what they're supposed to do. They will do the right thing, only when forced to. Speaking of leftists who won't do the right thing, the NBA, the National Basketball Association, as we wrap it up today, they have, apparently LeBron James got thrown out of a game the other day and fined for doing some obscene gesture. I didn't look into it because I don't care about basketball very much. But then he had people thrown out of a game, courtside seats, because they were apparently mocking him for getting thrown out of the game. You want to talk about thin-skinned, you want to talk about a nickname for a cat, right there is LeBron James. But the center for the Boston Celtics is a guy named Enes Kanter. I talked to you about him a couple of weeks ago because he's been calling out China and their genocide of the Uyghurs and their oppression of their people. And he's been calling out Nike, the NBA, and LeBron James for their coddling of China. They're sucking up to the dictators, the terrorists that run China. Well, now he wore some shoes the other day that depicted LeBron James bowing to Beijing, too. I really love the sack on this guy. He's got some real guts. Enes Kanter is becoming an American citizen after years of travails, and he's finally getting his citizenship today. And he's got a game tomorrow or that he'll be wearing his new name on the back. He's going to keep Enes Kanter, but he has a new last name. Like when my sister got married, she didn't hyphenate her name. She took our last name as her middle name and took her husband's last name. Enes Kanter is no longer just going to be Enes Kanter. He's going to be Enes Kanter Freedom. I love it. This is great. He was on CNN last night.
And freedom also is the greatest thing that a human being can have. So that's why I wanted to make that word a part of me and carry it wherever I go. And so that word is, that definitely means a world to me.
Is that going to be on your uniform?
Yes, actually. We have a game on the 30th against Philly, and that is going to be the first time that I'm wearing a jersey, and behind the jersey is going to say freedom.
Freedom. Ennis Cantor Freedom. It's going to say freedom across the back. It shouldn't be controversial. It should not be controversial for a public figure in any way, shape, or form, in any manner, politics, movies, sports, to openly embrace freedom and oppose oppression. Yet it is. This shouldn't be an act of courage. Yet it is. It's an incredible act of courage, considering that he is standing up to his employer, the most powerful employees, and the most powerful company that pays most of those employees. He's standing up to all of them for what's right, on principle. As all these leftists tell you how big of heroes they are, don't believe them. None of them would do what Ennis Cantor is doing. Not even close. We're out of time. Appreciate you guys listening. It's good to be back in the swing of things. Hope you have a great week. We'll be here every day for it.